How many of y'all are excited about Monday? Yeah? You excited about Monday? Usually when you ask somebody if they're excited about Monday, they're like, oh no, not excited about Monday at all. How many of you are excited about today? You know what today brings, right? You're in God's house, you get to worship Him. That should make us all excited. I know I'm excited. I've been awake for a while and excited about preaching to you this morning, and I'm excited about the Lord. If you don't have anything going on Monday, get excited about Monday. If the Lord lets us have Monday, it's something to be excited about, because it's another day that we can follow Him, another day that we can be with Him. And that should make us all go, yes, I'm excited about Monday. But today we are here on this Sunday. And I'm going to invite y'all to come and see this morning. Come and see who Jesus is. Come and see who He is to you and what He has for you. All right? So if you'll stand this morning, we're going to turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found Him whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to Him, and He said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to Him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to Him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you underneath the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And He said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Brother Jamie, would you lead us as we pray? Now we see in the first scripture here in verse 43 of chapter 1, it says, "The following day Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and He found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.'" How exciting is that? For Jesus to look at Philip and say, "Follow me." When Jesus called you and said, "Hey, you're a sinner. I want to be the Lord of your life. Come follow me." How excited were you? I'm going to tell you, when I was 8 years old and that happened to me, I was so excited. I told everybody on the third grade playground in DeWitt, Arkansas, that Jesus saved me, and I was getting baptized the next day, and you're all invited. Hardly any of them showed up, but you know, the third grader or so, and their mom and dad couldn't drive them. I don't know what happened, but I was excited. Somewhere throughout the next... that was 8. Let's just say fast forward to 18. High school. You remember that time, right? Were you as excited then as you were about the day the Lord came into your life? Just be honest. Think about this for just a second. Where did that excitement go? You see, Philip said, "Oh, Jesus." He said, "Follow me. I've got to go find people and tell." Somewhere between 8 and 18, I lost that excitement. And I didn't tell very many people about Jesus. Tried to play baseball in college, and God said, "No, that's enough of that." He knew what that life was going to bring me. And He led me to a bunch of friends in college. I'm not saying my life was much better, but I became more excited about Jesus through the college ministry. And the older I've gotten, the more I should be excited about Jesus. Because I've gone through things in my life that I've seen Him in and how He's brought me out the other side. And so, that excitement that we have when Jesus finds us and comes into our hearts is something we should carry with us everywhere we go. Did you tell anybody that you were saved after you were saved? Were you excited? Were you saved on Sunday and became really excited about Monday? See, it works, right? To become excited about the next thing, the next person that we can tell. Felix accepts this call without hesitation. Y'all notice that, right? Without hesitation, he accepted the call. His excitement just brims over and he runs off and he finds Nathanael. He said, "We have found the one whom Moses and all the in the law and all the prophets wrote, Jesus, the son of Joseph of Nazareth." He's saying this with great joy in his heart. "Man, I know who Jesus is. I know who the Messiah is. You've got to come see him." But as most of our friends are, sometimes they're not really impressed with our excitement, are they? I've been really excited about stuff at the house. And y'all have kids. They're like, "No, that's not really that exciting, Dad." But Nathanael was like, "Oh, really? I'm not really that impressed. Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Instead of arguing with Nathanael, Philip just said, "Hey, buddy, just come and see. Come and see for yourself. Come and see who Jesus is." And when Nathanael did come and see who Jesus was, guess what he found? Excitement. He found Jesus. He found the Savior. He found the Master. And as soon as these two men, Jesus and Nathanael, see each other, Jesus said, "Oh, here comes a hypocrite." No, that's not what he said. He said, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Is there anything that feels lonelier than the experience of being unseen, misunderstood, and prematurely dismissed? Have you ever been there? Where you've met somebody and they're like, first impressions mean a lot, right? I've done that. I've had a first impression of people that doesn't turn out to be exactly who they are. My first impression of each and every one of y'all hang on, is that you're all sinners and that you all need Jesus. That's my first impression of you, and that should be the first impression you have of anybody. Not, they got their shirt tail tucked, untucked. They didn't wear a tie. Maybe they've got shorts on and it's not really a place to do this, or they didn't comb the hair today, or they're from Piggott. Or, you know, all these things that we can think of, that we have first impressions on people and we see what we want to see. Seeing is always selective in our eyes. We always see the things that are interest to us. We see the things that matter to us. We see the things that really don't count for anything, because we see how it affects us. And seeing is always selective. We have choices when it comes to what we see. We have lots of choices. We choose what we prioritize. We choose what we call out in each other. Do you do that with your friends? I can't believe you wore those shoes with those pants. Ladies, y'all ever do that? Guys, we don't care as much. We just put on what's normal and what we can wear. And if it matches, it matches. If it doesn't, great. We go on with our life. But we call out things that we want to make somebody feel just a little bit smaller. Sometimes we do that, right? And we do that unconsciously because it's just how we go through our daily life. Verse 47, it says, "Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, 'Behold, an Israelite indeed with no deceit.' And Nathanael said to him, 'How do you know me?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you.'" What did Jesus see? Jesus saw somebody who needed him. Jesus saw someone who needed him. His saving power, what he was going to do for Philip. What we present to the world is layered and messy. Every one of us. Y'all try to present, I try to present, not necessarily who I am sometimes. I don't really want you to see me. I don't really want you to see what I've got going on in my life, my struggles. Good thing about Jesus is, we can't do that to him. He sees us just the way we are. It takes love and patience to sift through the layers that we have in our life. Do y'all have enough patience to do that? I know sometimes I'm not the nicest guy. Sometimes maybe you aren't either. But that may be not who I really am. Doesn't mean that it's right. Doesn't mean that it's something that I want to portray. But it does mean that I have things in my life that you see. But it may not be what is really there. Okay? To find what lies at the core of each person, we've got to look a little bit deeper. Do you take time to understand who we are, who your friends are? You tell certain people certain things about your life that you don't tell other people, right? Because you think they'll understand you a little bit better and they won't judge you for that. Isn't it great that I don't have to tell God what my issues are, what my problems are? He's going to love me either way. That is great. When we sift, there is great power. When Jesus sifts us, there is great power. When He looks into our lives, there's great power. And with that understanding of knowing who we are, there's healing. And I love that about my Jesus. That when He sees me, not just sees the outer layer, but He sees deeply who I am inside. And He understands who I am. I can have that healing. Something happens to us when we're known. Y'all like being known, right? I can start calling out people's names and you'll go, oh, I'm embarrassed. But at our job, we like to be known for good things, right? In life, we like to be known for good things. We don't necessarily like to be known for bad things. That's embarrassing. It doesn't portray us in the light we want to be. But when we are deeply known, man, that brings excitement and joy to our life. Something happens to us when we're named. Now you go back up here and you look in the scriptures that we didn't read this morning in chapter 1. In verse 41 he says, he found his own brother Simon. He said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. You see, when we are named, Jesus changed his name. What did that give him? That gave him a new life. And I love it when Jesus changed my name from Kelly to son. It gave me a new life. And I've accepted through what Jesus has given me, through that, for Jesus looking at me, for changing me, and it gives me an acceptance. And I love that. How many of y'all being changed and accepted for who you are excite you? Oh, it should do a little bit more than that. When Jesus changes your life, you should be excited. You should be like Philip and want to run and tell someone. I hope you get excited this morning. I hope you get excited about Jesus. Because the question I just asked you, is there anything that feels lonelier than an experience of being unseen? No. That is a lonely experience, to be in a room and nobody speaks to you. That is a lonely experience to live a life that nobody notices. But with my Lord and Savior, I'm never alone. I'm never in a room by myself. I don't live a life that's unnoticed. Because I can promise you, He notices my life because I mess up all the time. There's nothing that I can do that's good enough for Him to say, Kelly, you're all right. It's only by His blood that changes that. Is there anything more life-giving than the experience of being seen for who we really are? Deep down beneath the fragile defenses we hold up out of fear. You see, seeing can be truthful. It can be truthful. Jesus had a choice when it came to seeing Nathanael. Let's just do a what if right now. What if Jesus had looked at Nathanael and said, instead of saying he had any kind of purity in his heart, he had said, "Here's a cynic who has so much doubt about what I can do. Here's a man who has just got so much prejudice because where did I come from? From a town that he doesn't think anything good can come from, Nazareth. Here's a man who is blunt and he's careless with his words. That's me. Here's a man who sits around. He's passive. He's non-committal, waiting for life to happen to him, sitting underneath a fig tree. What if Jesus had started out like that? It would have changed the whole scenario, wouldn't it? If I judge you for who I see you are, and not judge you for who Jesus sees you are, it changes our relationship. Jesus started out a relationship with Nathanael on a positive note. Any of those things that I just mentioned may have been true about Nathanael. But Jesus looked past them to Nathanael's character. Nathanael's heart would not have melted in excitement and joy if Jesus had named all these things first. Jesus named the quality that He wanted to bless and cultivate in Nathanael. Isn't that great how that works? Nathanael, I see a good person in you, but I want to cultivate that. That's not going to get you any closer to me, but I want to make sure that you understand that I can see all these other things. But I love you for who you are. The quality that made Nathanael a person of beauty was a quality that Jesus wanted to use to make him an image bearer of God. Jesus can see our past. If you're sitting here and you think your past is okay and it's good, Jesus sees that. You may have already wiped it away, but Jesus still sees that. He sees your past. He knows your present. He knows exactly who you are today. And that's a sinner in need of Him. Or you're a son or daughter that He wants you to be excited about being His son or daughter. But He also sees what He saw in Nathanael. What He could be. What He could be. Not just staying underneath the fig tree. Not just staying where He was. But what He could be with Jesus as His personal Savior. And that's the difference between life. What we are and what we are not. We are sinners. And I'm still a sinner, even though I was saved at the age of 8. But my life with Jesus is so much better. So much better with Him than without Him. To come to see is to enter into the joy of being deeply seen and deeply known. To have the very best that lies hidden within us called out and being used for God. Jesus sees truth. 100% truth. You can't hide from Him. You can't push all the stuff away. Jesus sees truth. He knows who Kelly Roach is. He knows who Michael Weatherford is. He knows who David Shirley is. He knows who Brother John Henry is. And I could sit here and start naming all of your names till I ran out of memory. But He sees you. And He knows who you are. It's simple. Because Jesus saw who Nathanael is, Nathanael was able to see who Jesus is. That's great. Because Jesus saw who He was. Who I was. I was able to see who Jesus is. Jesus saw a man sitting underneath the fig tree. Saw who his life really was. And Nathanael, because of that, he said, "Rabbi, You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." It is when we have seen that in that profoundly personal way that we find ourselves able to see others. How do you see other people when you first meet them? Remember we talked about a while ago, first impressions? When we know how Jesus sees us, don't you want to see people in the same way Jesus sees them? Yes. We should have that heart to see people the way Jesus sees them. It's when we have been loved right down to the core of who we are that we find the capacity to love as God loves us. Wow. If it wasn't for Jesus loving me and showing me what true love was, man, I would look at the world in such a slanted view. And I'm already looking at the world in a slanted view. But my view would be so far out in left field that I couldn't care less where they were. Jesus said, "Philip, follow me." The excitement ran over in Philip and went to Nathanael. And he said, "Nathanael, just come and see who Jesus is." And because Nathanael got up and left the shade of the fig tree, he said this in verse 49, "Rabbi, You are the Son of God. You are the Son of God. You're a mess. Own it." I said own it, but don't take pride in it. Our lives that we live, the layers that we portray, are usually there that keeps people from seeing who we really are. Like I told you earlier, Jesus knows who we are. So I'm going to encourage you, get excited about God knowing your heart. Get excited about Him knowing your heart. Don't hide from Him. Don't say that I've done these things and I'm good enough and Lord, don't bother me. Lord knows who you are. He knows your heart. Get excited about it. Brother Doug spoke about the woman at the well last week. She got excited about Jesus knowing who she was and went and told the whole town and brought them back to Jesus. That's the excitement that we need, is to be excited about Jesus knowing our heart. Get excited about God understanding who you are and who you can be. Lord, thank You for knowing who I am, but thank You for being there with me and helping me go to the next spot. To not staying where I'm at underneath the shade of the fig tree. Lord, thank You for saying, follow me. Like we told Nathanael. Nathanael got to live the next 3.5 years with Jesus walking on this earth. Get excited about Jesus. So if I ask you, who's excited about Monday? All of y'all should say, I'm excited about Monday. Because Jesus gives me each day. And if I'm not excited about the day that Jesus gives me, I need to question if I'm excited about Jesus. Jesus has given you today. He's given you this opportunity to say, hey, I know who I am. Jesus, You know who I am. I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, You know I'm a sinner. But Lord, I've done all this stuff. Well, that really doesn't matter. That doesn't make us any closer to Jesus. It just gives us an opportunity for Jesus to see some purity and heart in us. Jesus said, Nathanael, I see you. I saw who you are. I see who you are now. But I can see who you are going to be with me in your life. That's the person I want to get to know. That's the person that I know can be used. Get excited about Jesus. Get excited about the life that He can bring to you. Get excited about the day that He gives you and live it to its fullest. I want all of your days to be lived to the best possible enjoyment that you can have. Y'all all want that too, right? No matter what the day brings, no matter the difficulties that happen in life, as a son and as a daughter of Jesus Christ, there's no more possible way that my day can be any more exciting than to know that I'm living it with Jesus as my Savior. If you're here this morning and you don't have that ability to have excitement in your life because you don't have Jesus as your personal Savior, then we're going to give you an opportunity this morning to make that right with Jesus. To come to Him with a personal knowledge of Him being your Savior. If you're here this morning and your life hadn't been near as exciting as you want it to be, I'm not asking you to go drive 150 miles an hour down the freeway. All I'm asking you is that you get excited about what Jesus has done for you. That He knows everything about you. And He loves you. And He wants you to be excited. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for allowing us to come to You in prayer. Father, we thank You for being able to see who we are. Father, we thank You for loving us in spite of what You see. Father, I'm sorry that I don't live each day filled with excitement like I should. A day of knowing You are in my life. Father, it should be like it was when I was 8. When I accepted You as my personal Savior. Father, please allow me to have that excitement every day. Father, I know I'm the one that keeps pushing that away. And Father, that You're always here with me. But Father, I want that excitement. I want to be able to run around the playground and tell everybody I was saved. Father, You've changed my life. Father, help each and every one of us crave that excitement that You gave us on that day. Make it real to us. Father, I love You, and I want to praise You for all that You've done for me, for what You've done for Victory. Father, continue to bless her. Father, because today is exciting. You are with us. In Your name I pray.